Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditation on the Lord's Prayer. We have been reflecting on the petition, "Lead us not into temptation." And we have seen that God does not tempt anybody. Even though God might test people to strengthen them, to enable them to prove their faith and stability. Today, we want to reflect on this particular petition from the experience of Jesus. It is Jesus who taught us to pray to the Father, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, we know from the scriptures that Jesus himself was tested and severely tested. So much so that he knows what it is to be tempted and what it is to be tested, how severe it could be. Even he himself, the Son of God, was tested so severely. He knows how hard it would be for us to withstand the temptations that face us. Now, the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 2, verse 18 tells us about how Jesus was tested. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Jesus was tested by his sufferings. He was tested in the crucible of the passion, the suffering, not only at the moment of passion, but throughout his life. The test was severe. And he knows how severe it would be for us. The same letter that presents Jesus as the high priest gives us another example of the test that Jesus went through. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin." He was tested as we are, severely tested, but he stood firm. He did not succumb to the temptations. But the same letter continues to tell us how severe, how difficult it was for him to withstand, to overcome this test. In the next chapter, chapter 5, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered." Jesus was tested, and through the suffering, he learned obedience. He remained faithful to God. This somehow points to the end of the public ministry of Jesus. The test in the Garden of Gethsemane, the test that went on throughout the Passion, and especially on the cross. But not only at the end, right from the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus, the life of Jesus was tested, and he was constantly tempted by the powers of evil. From the beginning to the end, so much so that Jesus would tell his disciples at the Last Supper in Luke 22:28, telling that, "You are the ones who stood with me in my trials and temptations." From the beginning to the end, the disciples were with Jesus. Now, coming to the beginning, we know the three evangelists, the synoptic gospels, speak about the temptations of Jesus. Mark is the shortest. In Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we read, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan." He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. Why 40 days? The 40 days is is a symbolic number, you know. The 40 days of temptations in desert somehow represent or reenact the 40 years of Israel, the 40 years of wandering in the desert, of which we saw the last time. The 40 years of the wandering in the desert for the people of Israel was a time of testing and temptation. They were tested, and the test turned into temptation, and they failed, miserably failed. The failure started at Kadesh Barnea, where they refused to go up into the land of Canaan and fight to conquer it. And then the test continued through murmuring, rejection of Moses as the leader, making statues, idols, etc. Now, the people of Israel failed in the test in the desert. So Jesus, the new Israel, who is the redeemer of the whole world, is confronting again the same force, the force of evil that tested, that tempted the people of Israel and led them to failure. Now Jesus encounters this evil force and conquers them. That is the meaning of the 40 days of fasting and temptation in the desert. What Mark generally says as being tempted has been presented by Luke and Matthew into three different specific episodes. The temptations of Jesus is somehow crystallized in three episodes through incidents. The first comes as the temptation of bread. We read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The first temptation is maybe the most radical temptation that every human being would face. Here Jesus is tempted as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God, anointed and sent into the world to redeem the people, to liberate the people. How is this redemption to take place? He himself is hungry. After 40 days of fasting, he should have been very hungry and weak. And availing himself of this opportunity, the tempter comes with the suggestion, "Why go hungry when you can make plenty of food, plenty of bread? Just say the word. You have the power. You have the power to turn these stones into bread. Aren't you the Son of God? Are you not the liberator of the people? What kind of liberation are you going to give if not giving them bread? Give them bread. Eat your bread. Turn these stones into bread and make the whole desert a mine of bread where people can come and eat. You have the word. You have the power. Give them bread. Satisfy your hunger. Be the leader who gives bread." And that is presented as a way of salvation. And Jesus immediately realizes the temptation behind it, the evil that lurks behind this beautiful picture of feeding the millions and billions of people easily. Jesus knows that there is no easy way of feeding the hungry. Stones cannot be turned into bread without a miraculous power. And that's not what God wants. God said, "Adam and his followers, eat your bread at the sweat of your brow." People have to work. People have to earn the bread. Work hard, earn the bread, and divide it among themselves. There is no easy way of making bread. Easy bread is a temptation. A temptation to dominate people, make people slaves of bread. And today, bread becomes the biggest weapon, biggest instrument of exploitation and domination of people, and we know it. Jesus said, "Men do not live on bread alone." Don't become a slave of bread. Don't make bread an instrument of domination. You have to listen to the word of God. Man is more than bread. The second temptation is of another type. Matthew and Luke have a different order in presenting the temptations. In Matthew, the second temptation comes in Jerusalem. Jesus was taken to the pinnacle of the temple. In chapter 4, verses 5 and following, he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Quoting from Psalm 91. The tempter is telling Jesus to perform a miraculous, a spectacular deed. He is standing right on the top of the pinnacle of Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of people gathered in the courtyard. And if he jumps down from the pinnacle and comes down unhurt and stands in the midst of the people, of course, everybody would be taken up. They will see him as the Messiah descending straight from heaven. That's what some of the people thought, that the Messiah would come down straight from heaven. So this is the opportunity, he says. This is how you should introduce yourself, a spectacular entry into the ministry through such a miracle. But Jesus sees again the temptation here. There is no easy way. There is no easy way to salvation. The salvation comes only through the hard way. The road that leads to life is narrow, he said, and the door that leads also is narrow. A hard, narrow road one has to pass through. No easy way. So Jesus opts to take the difficult road, the narrow road of suffering and death to the salvation of the world, rather than the spectacular, miraculous way. The third, and it's the most stunning temptation, is that of domination. Jesus comes as the leader of life, as the one who is to redeem the people from all types of slavery. And now the Satan, the tempter, presents before him a beautiful picture, a way. The whole world will be yours. All the glory and power will be yours. You will have the power, much more greater than the Roman Caesar. All the legions together will not match your power, the Roman legions. I will give you power. I will give you the whole world. Only just worship me. Again, the temptation of worldly power and glory, which somehow is taken as the norm for all the people. Everybody looks for glory. Everybody looks for power. And with the power and glory, people try to impress and dominate and liberate others. But Jesus sees the worldly power only an enslaving power. And Jesus later on would say to his disciples, "You shall not be like this. You shall not be like the people of the world who think that their greater ones are the most powerful, glorious ones who dominate others." Jesus says, "Don't tempt your Lord. You shall not be like them," Jesus would tell his disciples. "The one who wants to be the greatest among you shall be the least. The one who wants to be the master should be the slave, as I myself am like a slave." The way to salvation is not the miraculous way, is not the easy bread, the way of the easy bread, is not the way of the worldly power and glory. So these three episodes, the three incidents, are presented in the Matthew, in the first gospel, and as well as the Gospel of Luke, only to say that the life of Jesus was constantly undergoing such temptations. These are epitomes, symbols, symptoms or samples of the temptations Jesus went through. Throughout his life, there had been temptations. For example, in the Gospel of John, immediately after the multiplication of the bread, the people come to make Jesus king. You will find it in the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the same thing that was being suggested to him. Be the master of the world. Be the king. So in actual life, such temptations were taking place in the life of Jesus. We know during the time of the public ministry of Jesus, there were the zealots, the people who wanted to fight the Romans and bring the kingdom of God by force. And Jesus would have been carried off by such temptations. At least people would have thought that he would be the master, he would be the Messiah, the fighting, liberating Messiah. This was a constant temptation. The temptation of bread comes again. The people would ask him, Lord, give us this bread. Or they would ask for a spectacular event. In Mark chapter 8, verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven. They all want sign. So these are the temptations that constantly plagued the way of Jesus during his ministry. Not only the opponents, not only the Pharisees, even the people who supported him, people who appreciated him, who loved him, wanted to keep him for themselves. But Jesus would say, I have to go to the other towns and villages. And I have to preach the good news there also. He cannot be restricted to one particular town. The Herod the king, would ask him to get out of his country. Jesus would say, it's not for him to tell where I should go and what I should preach. I go where the Father wants me to go. I'll go to Jerusalem, but not yet. In Luke 13, 31, 33, you can find the text. So Jesus cannot be intimidated by his enemies, nor persuaded by his well-wishers. Peter, for example, would tell Jesus, after the first prediction of the passion, Lord, let it not happen to you. You shall not go to Jerusalem. I'll forbid you to go to Jerusalem, so to say. Peter is protesting against the passion. And then, you know what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. So Jesus was tempted, not only by the devil. These temptations were concretized by the invitations of the Pharisees, his opponents, the threat of the rulers, the persuasions of the friends. All these came as temptations. Temptations that somehow tried to deviate Jesus from the path traced by his Father, the path, the way of the cross. And this comes at the end. For example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know how severely Jesus was tested. And the temptation was so severe that he clouded even his own decision-making process in such a way that he would cry out, Father, everything is possible for you. Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will be done but yours. So there is a time in the life of Jesus at the end where the temptation becomes so severe that he cries out and his sweat becomes drops of blood, showing how severe the temptation was. And finally, at the cross. At the cross, he is challenged by the passers-by, challenged by the rulers, challenged by the soldiers. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe you. If you are the Son of God, come down. The tempter in the desert said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. From the desert to the cross, temptations were there. And Jesus was severely tempted, tested, such a way that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is quoting, of course, Psalm 22:1, but it shows the severity of the temptation. And finally, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He was tempted, but he remained faithful. He was tested like us in everything but sin. Jesus remained sinless. He remained faithful, recognizing what temptation was. Now, let us conclude this session with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to call you Father. Father, you know how severely we are tempted. We know how difficult it is for us often to remain faithful to you. But we have the example of your Son, who was tested more severely than we are and still remained faithful. Enable us to remain faithful to you, to our call, to our faith. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.